Welcome back to The Terminal Exchange, the official podcast of Nussbaum Transportation, where we explore key issues and compelling stories in the trucking industry. I'm your host, Dayton Rumbold, and you're listening to episode 123, Under 21 and Overachieving, the Safe Driver Apprenticeship Program. Today, Carter Fair and Jordan Kirsten join me in the studio. What were you doing when you were 19? Well, they're driving trucks. They both have their CDL, so we talk about why they chose trucking and how to balance work and life. You're not going to want to miss this featured exchange. Thank you for joining us today. We have two special guests. We have Jordan Kirsten and we have Carter Fair. So thank you for being here today. Thank you both.
Yeah, good to be here.
Yep. So this is a special episode. We're talking about the Under 21 program. So this is something where you can get your CDL, but not only that, but you can go out of state through this program. Mm-hmm. So if we could start telling us about yourselves a little bit. Carter, you're from the Barry, the Fairbury.
Yeah, from Fairbury.
Could you just share a little bit about yourself?
So I'm 19 years old right now and from Fairbury, lived in Fairbury my whole life. Small town community, farmers, we're farmers as well, so I've got some experience with bigger equipment being a farmer, so.
Okay. Yeah. Kind of drew you into it a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Being definitely. Comfortable.
And that the fact that my dad's a truck driver as well also really got me into it.
Yeah, that would make sense. Mm-hmm. And where does he drive at?
He drives for a small company called Dave Marty Trucking out of Forest, Illinois. He's a fuel hauler. You know, he always told me, you don't want to be a fuel hauler. It's a nightmare. So, yeah, but you can't be a fuel hauler until you're 23 anyway.
Oh. So
they're a little more strict with that because it's hazardous.
Yeah, you have to get your hazmat.
Yeah, yep. And you can't do that till 23.
Okay.
My grandfather, he's also been a truck driver his whole life. He actually owns his own semi.
Really?
Does that. I believe he says he started his trucking career here at Nussbaum's.
No way.
Way back in the day. Back when they had Volvos and...
Yeah.
I believe Brent Nussbaum remembers him.
So. Okay. What was his name?
Ralph Fair.
Ralph Fair. Yep. Okay. Cool. Nice. That's really a blast from the past.
Yeah.
The Volvos. Jordan, about you?
I'm 20. I'm almost out of the program. I'll be out of the program here in about a month. I've been in here since a month after I turned 19. My dad's been a trucker most of my life. That's about it. I'm also from a small farming community.
Yeah. The Sterling, yeah. Illinois. So you're one more month and then you'll be out of the program.
Yeah. I'll just be another everyday driver.
Okay. That's exciting. It's cool to see both sides too. Like Carter, you've been doing it for almost a year and then you're almost exiting the program. So we'll get a little bit of both sides here about the initial and then kind of finishing up what that looks like. And now it probably just feels like another day.
Yeah.
Normal to you. And thank you for all listeners tuning in today. To start off, I have a little icebreaker game for us. It's called True or Trucker Tale. So I got a bunch of statements that I'm going to read, and then you can tell me if it's true or false, true or trucker tale. Okay? You guys up for this?
Yeah.
And if you're listening, please, you can say this in your head. So, all right, to start, the longest road trip by a truck driver in a single stretch was over 3,000 miles without stopping.
Well, that's very hard to believe. I'm sure there's some old timer out there who'd be like, well, back in the day when I could run two paper logs. Anything's possible.
Right.
Well, it depends. Were they stopping for fuel?
That too,
yeah.
There's no way a normal truck stopping. Would have enough fuel to do that.
So for both those reasons, this is myth busted. This is trucker tale. Because obviously there's regulations, and we have to take rest breaks, and you have to stop for fuel. So good one. You busted it.
Yeah.
You busted the myth. Next one. The average semi-truck can haul up to 80,000 pounds of cargo.
That's false.
Yeah, I was going to say that's false just because you say the average truck. I don't know if the average truck can.
Yep.
But it's also that, yeah, that's probably pushing it legally.
Yes.
You know, right at 80,000.
That puts you almost 40,000 pounds over.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're right. Right on the money. Two for two. So just because the average, you know, we're looking at what is the average cargo weigh. Next one, the world record for the fastest truck in a quarter mile drag race is under 14 seconds.
I think that one's true.
Really?
Yeah, that one I don't know whether that's true or not, but I do know they do have drag racing trucks out there. I know it's a bigger thing out there, I think in like Europe. I've seen videos of it and stuff, so I know they do it out there. I'm not sure how fast they go, but
okay.
I'm inclined to believe that could be true.
Okay. Well, you're 3 for 3 because this is true. This is not trucker tale.
Okay.
The record was set by a truck named Shockwave, a jet-powered semi, which completed the quarter mile in under 13.6 seconds.
Ooh, wow.
So, souped up trucks coming up soon, Newsbomb? No, it's not going to happen. The longest semi-truck convoy in history included over 1,500 trucks.
I've heard of some pretty long convoys out there.
I don't think that...
I don't know if that'd be true either. I feel like DOT would definitely try and break that up best they can. They wouldn't like that.
Right. So this
run
is
out a road to fit it on.
The road at? Yeah, that's another great question. This actually happened. The record was set in Egypt in 2020 with a convoy of 480 trucks to raise awareness for a cause. So,
wow.
But anyway, so that record might be. The 1,500, I think it seems like to be less, but still, 480 trucks.
That's a lot of trucks.
That's a lot of trucks. All right. We'll do one more. The heaviest load ever hauled by a truck weighed over 3 million pounds.
I've seen some videos, again, out there in Europe, they're trying to break records with the amount of pounds they can pull. They got like 10 trailers behind them or something, and they're only pulling it about 15 feet.
Yeah.
And they'll count that as, oh, yeah, pulled
the load.
Millions of pounds or whatever. I'm going to go with trucker tale, I guess, on 3 million. 3 million seems pretty high.
Yeah.
I've seen some records over there breaking that, just pulling it 10 feet or whatever.
Yeah.
But
I don't think it's
true or trucker tale?
I don't think it's true.
Trucker tale?
Has a lot of weight.
It is a ton of weight. In fact, 1999, a truck in Australia hauled a load weighing over 3.1 million pounds as part of a mining operation. Doesn't say how far, though.
Yeah, I guess it's.
But that is pretty extraordinary, that the 3.1 million pounds. I mean, that's hard to fathom. So might have to look into this because that almost seems like trucker tale.
Push truck behind it too.
Yeah.
If that record was breaking, I'd believe it would be Australia. And I've heard they got road trains over there. They're allowed to pull like 5 trailers.
Well, really?
Yeah.
They do that because they don't have actual trains out there.
That too. It's such a big open country with nothing out there.
Everybody lives on. Well, not everybody, but most people live on the one coast, and there's barely anybody else out in the.
Yeah.
Rest of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, how trucking's done in some of these other countries is fascinating.
It is interesting.
Yeah,
there's different regulations.
Oh, yeah.
And, thanks for playing the game, True or Trucker Tale. So, for you guys, who were your trainers getting into this? Who's some of the people that helped you along this journey?
So, my first trainer was Mike Klein. Had him for 4 weeks, first 4 weeks of training. And then after Mike, then I had Jason Van Beaver for, 5 weeks?
Mm-hmm.
5 weeks of training with Jason.
I had the same trainers, just flip-flopped in order.
Okay.
I had Jason first and went with Mike.
Okay. And with this, truck driving is a journey. I mean, it's something, like, all our lives are journeys. Like, we're not just doing one thing, but we're always on a journey. So, with your journeys, why did you choose truck driving? Why didn't you just choose to be a mechanic this is pretty unusual. Out of the people at Newsbomb, we have 5-7 maybe under 21 truck drivers, so that's, you're pretty in the unique there in that way. So if you could share.
So I guess the reason I got into truck driving was My dad and grandfather have done it practically their whole life, so I've been around it for as long as I can remember. And they're the ones that kind of got me into it. I remember being younger, riding in the truck with my dad, and being like, this is awesome. You just get to drive all day, and you're making good money. Well, there's actually a lot more to it than that.
Right. There's a lot more to it.
It is. I also thought it would be really cool to get to see more of this country as well. Because being in a small town just in central Illinois, there's not much around to really see. And the idea of getting out there to see some of these other cities, see how things are done. Being a farmer, I think it's kind of cool to get to go out to, like, earlier this week I was in southern Missouri and seeing, oh, they're farming out there already. Yeah. But, yeah, we still probably have a few weeks yet.
Yeah.
So it's cool to get to see everything else out there. And I also don't mind my own company as well. So it works out pretty good.
Yeah, you don't mind, you know.
I don't mind being alone for long periods of time. There are some times where I'll be like, I feel a little lonely, but
yeah,
I feel like I cope with that better than most other guys I've talked to out there.
Yeah, you find ways. And that's another point that I was going to talk about, of like, it is unique in that way of like a lot of your friends are, you know, back in Fairbury doing their thing. So then how do you stay in touch with them or keep connected?
So we call on the phone pretty often. I'll be driving down the road and one of them will call me on their lunch break or when they're on their way home from work to chat, see how things are going, where I'm at. So, and being able to get home every weekend is really great too. I always try and see if I can get to see them every weekend.
Keep in touch. Yeah, making plans when you're gonna get back.
Yep.
What do you do on your time off from the truck?
Usually whatever you can kind of fit in on them weekends. Usually it's a kind of a tradition I do with some of my friends that we've been doing for a couple of years. We always try and get lunch on Sundays. I don't know why that exactly started. I think it started probably 2 or 3 years ago. And it's something I look forward to every weekend, is being able to go to the local restaurants, get lunch every weekend. And there's been some weekends where we've been able to even fit in some golfing. Just, you know, do some golfing or hang out.
Where do you go to eat?
Oh, it's just kind of a small town. There's not a lot of options.
Days. You get Dave's Supermarket.
We don't go there too often, but we Dairy Queen. Go to Dairy Queen. Or we got this Mexican restaurant in town called Dos Fuentes. Go there a lot. Go there a lot.
Dos Fuentes.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Love some good Mexican food.
Jordan, what about you? Why'd you get into trucking?
Didn't know what else I wanted to do. Didn't know what I needed. Money. I needed a job that was actually going to be stable. And just was fresh out of high school and didn't know what to do with myself. So I didn't want to go to college and to go start out somewhere, a small job, you're not making much. So figured financially this would probably be my better option.
Yeah.
Plus we were looking at possibly a crash in the economy and stuff, so I was afraid of that happening. I wanted something that was going to hold up better.
Economy proof. Yeah.
Because we're always going to need truck drivers.
Exactly. Yeah. Stuff is going to have to get there somehow. We don't have flying cars yet, so. When you think about that, starting off, you have this impression of what truck driving is going to be like. So how has it matched what it's actually been? How has the experience been from your initial impression? You mentioned there's a lot more to truck driving. So what does that look like? Good experience, bad experience, the goods and bads?
Depends on the day. Some days are good, some days are bad.
That's a good point. Very good point, yeah. I feel like you can have that with any job, though. You can have the ups and downs. But, yeah, there's some days where it's like, man, why did I choose this?
Yeah.
But then there's some days where glad I did.
Yeah, can you elaborate on that a little bit? Why are those days that you say, I don't want to do this anymore?
Oh, at least for me, trucking sometimes can be very mentally stressful. Because you can just be cruising along, things are going good, and all of a sudden a wrench just gets thrown into your day. Whether it's, I've had it happen a couple times, oh, a load just got canceled on me that I was on my way to go pick up. Now I got to turn around, find a place to turn around here. Or coming up to a place I got delivered to, GPS for some reason didn't see it. There's road construction there, and it just it happened to me literally last week where I came up on this small town. I had to go through this small town, and there was a sign that said, new law, trucks, no right turn. And my GPS saying, I need to make a right turn there. So then it's kind of a little stressful trying to figure out what is my next legal way to get there, you know, while being safe. And yeah, because you don't want to turn down a wrong road. And also just traffic, you know, driving up there in Chicagoland. Mm-hmm. And that traffic can just be stressful. It can just stress you out because, you know, oh, now I might be running a little late for that delivery or something, you know. But the days where it's good is just the wide open roads, taking in the views, and, yeah, just enjoying it.
Yeah, good podcast or a good...
Yeah, things to listen to, yeah.
Something to listen to. Yeah, you're just really enjoying yourself, seeing the beauty. Makes sense, and there's a lot more problem solving the truck driving than initially you thought.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's thinking on your feet. You have to do that a lot.
Yes, you do.
What about you, Jordan?
I'll just use yesterday as an example here. Last night I got stuck with a broker load picking up at Hines and Muscatine, and turns out the appointment to pick up was 2:00 in the afternoon, and we didn't get the load until about then.
Hmm.
So I showed up at 5 and they had to work me in, and I was sitting waiting to get loaded for 5 hours or something like that. I don't know I don't remember exactly, but it was a long time.
Yep.
There's a great example of a bad day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough. And especially those brokered loads. I mean, that's a difficult thing. So, yeah, what about the stuff you enjoy about it?
Well, I typically run out to Denver. Normally, that's what they have me do, and I like going out to see the mountains and stuff.
Hmm.
It's usually a nice drive. It's flat and boring, but it's usually pretty pleasant.
Yeah.
Usually not a whole lot of traffic and stuff like that. You still got to worry about a few idiots here and there. But
like always, there's always...
That's everywhere.
Yeah.
Yep.
You're not going to escape that. So talk me through, what is some of the training of the under 21 program? What does that look like? What do you have to do to be in the program?
Getting my CDL, I went through Nussbaum's Training Academy to do that. And then straight out of that, then I started doing training with the trainers here at Nussbaum. And in total, I think I was with a trainer for 9 weeks. There was a break in between there. But 9 weeks of training, which is, I believe, a lot more than someone who's already had trucking experience has to do, if they even have to go out with a trainer for that long. I don't know, but I know when I was with my trainers, they had a lot of, I think they had like a packet of stuff they had to like go through, like a curriculum almost, to make sure they went over. And I think we are watched a little more closely, of course, because it's something I think they're still kind of in the testing phase about. But yeah,
we'll probably be in the testing phase for few years.
Yeah, the government doesn't move very quick. So.
Yeah, anything. Find that out fast.
Well, it's only been going for about 2, I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it hasn't been, it's still relatively new.
Yeah.
It started right at the beginning of it.
So. Yeah, you were on the cutting edge of all of this.
Yeah, I was the first one here.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's anybody doing it before me. There probably was, but it was brand new.
Yep.
I was with a trainer for, I think, 10 weeks because they had a do extra stuff or something. I don't remember what the situation was. It's been a while. I went through a community college up by where I live
because
I couldn't afford to take off work to come down here for this one.
Yep, makes sense.
But it just extra training. They just watch you a little more closely.
Sure. And the stereotype is that, you know, being younger, it's like, oh, you're not as focused or you're not as sharp. So how do you work against those stereotypes? How do you stay sharp on your skills? And do you feel like you're at the skills of other people in truck driving? What does that look like?
Depends on the day. Some days when you're having a bad day, you might struggle with backing and stuff like
sure.
that.
Sure.
Practicing, finding harder backs or something to kind of do. Back to the whole training thing. After the first initial set of training, we went you were by yourself for what, a month?
Yeah.
So, and then you had to do your West Coast and East Coast training, which is what they normally do as
mm-hmm.
well.
Mm.
Get you into the mountains and stuff.
Do some mountain training.
Mm.
Yeah.
Where do you end up going for that? For out west?
Out west? Oh, they had me do a Portland load with Jason. That was cool. I was a little nervous about doing that.
What time of year were you going? You guys heading out there?
It was right when Iowa was getting their big blizzard.
Ooh,
so it was very sketchy getting through Iowa. Yeah, we were going about 30 miles an hour the entire length of
I was hoping you were
going
to say like summertime or something.
Nope. I think it was January, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, wow.
It was end of January, I think, when Jason and I had that way. We had a lot of truck problems before going out. It looked like it wasn't going to happen.
That ain't good.
We had problems with his truck, so we couldn't use his truck, and we tried using my truck. Then we had problems with my truck. And yeah, we went out to Portland, and I'm glad we were finally able to do it because it's beautiful country out there. Mm-hmm. And it made it all worth it in the end to be able to see Oregon and
them
western states. I haven't been out there since, but it's beautiful out there.
Did you go past Mount Hood? Giant mountain?
We did.
Did you have to put... So it's January? You put chains?
The chain law was not... I guess, what is the proper term? I mean, we didn't ever have to chain up.
Yeah.
Because they didn't have any snow out there.
Okay.
You had to have chains on you.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Iowa had the worst weather out of all the states. And everyone was warning, Wyoming's going to be the worst. That was some of the most beautiful weather in Wyoming when we went through. But Iowa was some of the worst weather that we've ever hit, that I've ever hit so
when
far.
When we went out, I think Wyoming was the worst, Wyoming or Montana. I know we had to chain up in Montana. They're right on the western side of the state going over one of the mountain passes there.
Hmm.
Other than that, it wasn't too bad. Yeah, Iowa got hit really bad last winter.
Yes, they did. They had a really cold weather. It's hard on the trucks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then where did you go out west for... So the initial trip...
Initial trip was out to Portland. And then what did you bring on the way back?
Where did we go? We went and got a load of lumber to bring back to Pella, Iowa.
Where did you pick that up at?
Oh, that's bad. I don't remember. It was kind of just out in the middle of nowhere in Oregon out there.
Gotcha. So you didn't go up into Washington or anything?
No, I wanted to. I got lucky and got to. See, I wanted to. I haven't been to Washington. I really wanted to get up to Washington and Montana, but no.
That's gorgeous.
Just kind of came right back the way we came.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So more loads out west is what you're saying.
Maybe.
That's what you want.
Maybe.
So there's initial time and then with your trainer around here, local or...
Well, they take you out of state.
Out of state.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll do a month by yourself, and then you'll do an out west trip.
And then out east trip as
and
well.
And out east trip. Okay.
So they'll take you out to, like, Connecticut and stuff like that out there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mike Klein, do you have a question? His hand up.
Well, I was just going to throw out for these dudes. Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hey.
Hey, Mike.
I was just going to throw out just to kind of, you know, blow their heads up a little bit. Dayton is these two, and then Jason will agree with me, these two are some of the best we had as far as, you know, trainees in general, not just 18 to 20-year-old. But it was pretty amazing the way that they, you know, read signs and things I didn't expect, you know, a 18, 19-year-old to be doing. We have, you know, I've trained 60-year-olds that had trouble reading signs going down the road, you know, just kind of, you know, that should be used to doing that kind of stuff.
Mm.
But these guys, you know, really took to it. And I think, you know, both their dads being in trucking and being around it, you know, all their lives, it's, you know, it was a huge part in it, I think. And just their own drive, though, too. You know, they really wanted to do it. They were, you know, very open to learning. And, you know, there obviously wasn't, you know, days without difficulties, you know. And, you know, Jordan was our guinea pig, basically. So he did have to do a little extra. You know, he was all excited to get ready to get in his own truck. And like, oh, no, sorry, we got to go one more week. We need more hours. You know, he took it hard initially, but, you know, he powered through it and got it done and, you know, basically graduated out of it. Mm. So, but no, I appreciate all the hard work these guys do and that they're, you know, still working here and still working hard.
It's awesome. Yeah. Thanks for sharing that, Mike. That's really cool.
Thank you, Mike.
Hear that. Nice work. Good job, Jordan.
Thanks, Mike.
Yeah. Here, give him a fist bump for me.
Yeah.
Awesome, man. That's cool.
You guys have a great day.
Oh, you too, Mike.
You too, Mike.
Thanks for sharing that.
Thanks.
Yeah, it's cool to hear that. other feedback, beating the stereotype a little bit. You know, mm-hmm. people expect you to not pay attention, or you grow up using Google Maps, so you're not used to looking at signs. But if you're training yourself and you're aware of that, it sounds like your background with your dad's doing that mm-hmm. really allowed you to step into it.
Growing up, my parents were real big on geography, like teaching me how to read a map, paying attention to where I was at and stuff like that.
So yeah.
It kind of is natural at this point.
Yeah, which most people, it's not natural. That's not like a natural, I mean, I don't want to speak, but technology has kind of allowed us to stray away from that. Mm-hmm. So to be able to come back and say, like, and your parents taught you geography and like looking at maps, and it's important.
Yeah, like what Mike said about reading the signs, I've gone out on like road trips with my friends and they're driving, and all of a sudden they're not looking at their signs closely, and I'm like, what are you doing?
Where are you going?
Yeah, where are you going? Back there. Yeah. You know, I've even, when I'm out with my mom or something, not to try and you know, I'm say this about her, but there's been a couple times where it's like, Mom, the exit's right there.
Right.
Your sign warned you about a mile back.
Yeah. Oh, man.
You know, or the lane's ending, you know.
Yeah.
Don't wait till the last second to get over.
Right.
I have friends that can't get anywhere without a GPS, and it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yep, got a couple like that too. Yeah, they can't. They rely on it way too heavy with the GPS. And I think that's one thing about us being under 21 is they think that's the only thing we're going to rely on. But no, my trainers have taught me well that you cannot just rely on the GPS.
For sure. Yeah. And it's cool. I like to hear that, how it works with your friends too. You pointed out. My wife's better at that than I am. She points me out all the time. She's like, hey, your exit's coming up. Or like, she's very minded in that way, geography-based. So, I think that's cool. And it's a very important part. If someone is listening to this that is under 21, thinking about doing trucking, that's an important thing to think about going into it. It's like, that's a big aspect.
Yeah. I've personally, myself, I've also experienced a lot of people, because I'm under 21, thinking, I just don't know what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. Or I don't know anything. Oh, I don't ever claim that I do know everything I'm doing, but, you know, I'd probably know more than you think. And just from my trainers, taught me very well. My father, you know, learned a lot from them. And, I've seen it many times going to some of the customers we go to. Mm-hmm. They're like, you look a little young to be driving a truck. You sure you know what you're doing? I like to think I do. I mean, I'm still learning out here, of course, but gotten that many times.
Oh boy.
You look too young to be driving a truck.
Yeah, what do you say to that? You're just,
I'm like, shh. Driving anyway. No, I then break it down. There's this program where you can drive under 21, but like try and have a good time about it. You know?
Or you just shock them. It's like, I'm 15. No, you wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
Do you get those comments, Jordan?
I've had a couple people confused when I hand my license to guards at guard shacks. They'll look at it, and it's not horizontal, vertical, and then take a double take at it, and then I explain to them, and a lot of people think it's awesome.
It is awesome.
Too. Yeah.
But
I have the thing with the license there. Yeah, ours are, you know, vertical.
I've had people say I didn't know they made them like this. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, I went somewhere too.
It's for the under anybody under 21. They have the vertical.
Yeah,
and over 21, you have the horizontal.
Right.
So. Yeah, I've been to a couple places out of state where they look at that and like, oh, Illinois makes theirs vertical.
Interesting.
No, it's just because I'm under 21.
Yeah, I didn't even know that some states didn't do that.
And I don't think the reason they do that has anything to do with trucking. Someone was telling me the reason they do that is for just the legal age of drinking.
Yeah.
Easier to
ID.
Places to ID, I guess.
Yeah.
But it works in that sense too, I guess. But,
Interesting.
It's just a real easy way to see someone that's not 21.
Yeah. So, a typical day on the road, what is that like for you guys? Are you used to the schedule, waking up, you know, trying to find parking for the night? What is a day in the life look like for you?
For me anyway, it's different. It's very different when it comes to waking up and stuff. I'll sometimes have a week where I'll get my hours set to where I'm getting up at like 3:30 every morning, for that entire week, which that's fine. Getting that routine, I kind of almost like getting up earlier. It mm-hmm. makes it much easier to find parking then at the end of the day. And then there's some weeks where I'll get in that later schedule. I'll be running until like 10 o'clock at night. I'm getting up later. Yeah, I mean, I guess I don't know what else to say.
Yeah, and like trying to get dinner, like what do you do for that? Like food at night, do you pack your own meals or do you?
I actually myself, I learned this from my trainer, Mike. He's got this thing, I think it's called like a Hot Logic Mini. It's little hot plate, slow cook food all day. I got that idea from Mike, got myself one of those.
Nice.
So I'll slow cook like a chicken breast all day or meatballs or even a pork tenderloin.
Wow. Bon appetit.
Yeah.
I looked at my one, forgot what they were called. I've been meaning to call them about that and I keep forgetting to. Yeah. So now I remember.
Okay.
I think it's called a Hot Logic. I've been wanting to get
one, but.
Yeah.
I have a bunch of food and. Like lunch meat and pastas and stuff I make in the... I just cook in the microwave.
Okay.
Typically.
Yeah, that's
Chef
good.
Mike.
Chef Mike. Chef Mike. Is that what they call him?
Yep. Yeah. I also have like
Jason's pretty good at cooking in the truck.
Oh, Jason, yeah. Learn a lot from him as well about cooking. Yeah, I also got a mini air fryer.
Oh, yeah.
As well, I can use to cook food.
That's clutch, yeah.
Sometimes, though, if I need to be a bit quicker, I like to make salads.
Mm-hmm.
Make myself salads as well.
Yeah. Oh, it's part of the learning, and it's fun to have a trainer because you can learn that stuff, too. Like, it's not just about the job, but how do you learn the lifestyle of being a truck driver? So, yeah.
Yeah.
Day in the life for you, Jordan? Got any special routine you do?
Not really. I get up when I have to get up and grab fix something to eat quick. And
yeah.
Do a pre-trip and get going again, and that's about it.
Yeah,
I don't really. I work things as they go, and that's about it.
Okay, it's cool.
What? Yeah.
Because there's never a set schedule in the truck.
No, unless you run a dedicated route, maybe.
Yep.
You don't really have a set schedule.
Yeah, no, makes sense. Every day's different. The routine's different.
Yeah.
Looking ahead, the future, do you see yourself doing trucking for a long time, for a short time? Where do you see yourself in that?
I have no idea, honestly. I want out of the truck, but at the same time, it's good money.
Yeah.
So, what about you?
My future for trucking, it's kind of open-ended right now. Right now, I'd like to stay in it for about as long as I can. I don't know how long I'll be able to just because my family farms. They're going to need my help on the farm.
Mm-hmm.
So I will have to either just take off more time for that or figure something out with that.
Mm-hmm.
But as of right now, I can see myself doing this for quite a while yet.
Yeah.
Until... say something on the family farm where I'm needed.
Yeah.
Then I might have to adjust to that.
Okay.
But yeah, I can see myself staying doing this for a good while because money's good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Jordan was saying, and so far I'm enjoying it.
Yeah.
Overall, and I'm enjoying it.
That's good. Yeah, I think that's a good thing to look for too. It's like, do I enjoy it? Is it going to be long lasting trucking? It's going to be around for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So, what do you do on the farm?
We're mainly just grain farmers, so they usually have me run a tractor, but they've talked about, well, you got your CDL now, so we might have you run some loads of the elevator.
Yeah.
You know, out of the field. But as of right now, it's my grandfather, that's his primarily job, is running the tractor and auger cart.
Uh-huh.
Well, he's thinking about retiring a couple years or so.
Mm-hmm.
That's looking like I might take that over.
Okay.
And do that. I've done it many times in the past for him.
Yeah.
So that's... my dad usually runs the combine. Mm-hmm. I don't want to steal that from my dad.
You don't want to steal the combine?
No, I don't want the combine. Nope.
Yeah, a little too slow for you.
No, it's not that. It's just... I like running that tractor.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah. Jordan... and you said you're not sure about that. What advice would you give to someone that is considering doing this program?
Be prepared to not have a lot of friends and stuff like that. it's going to get hard to have a social life, stuff like that. A lot of people don't understand the way things are.
Yeah.
And it's just hard having life outside the truck.
It's tough. And if you go into it thinking you can maintain a schedule where you can, you know, be back every couple of days, and it's like it's not gonna happen. Mm-hmm. So that's a reality of the job. Mm-hmm. But that's also, yeah, a really tough part about it too. So
I've also learned that don't go ahead and plan your whole weekend out before you know for sure when you're getting back and when your next load is. Because I've done that before where I've planned my weekend out. Like, oh, I'm going to do this, this, that, and that.
Be back Friday night.
I'm
going to
get back Friday. Oh,
Saturday morning.
Yeah. Brokered load, get don't hung up plans. For 6 hours.
Don't.
Yeah, don't make plans, you know.
You'll get home when you get home. You'll leave out when you leave out.
Yep.
Figure out what you're going to do between.
And that unknown, I think, is a really hard, difficult part about
it. That was one of the most difficult things for me.
That is probably the most difficult part for me.
Yeah. Yeah. And as someone else that's a trainee, not under 21, but he said that is the most difficult for him, just the unknown. When am I going to get back? Like, when am I going to leave again? Even when you're off the job, you're still thinking about the job. Mm-hmm. You're thinking about, okay, I've got to get ready to head out next. So
I need this, and this for the truck this week.
Right.
Stuff like that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Doing laundry and, I think we got a question. I would like to ask how hard it is to adjust to the different lifestyle of being on the road instead of being home. This is from Keith Salyer. So we talked about that a little bit.
Adjusting to the lifestyle, it's definitely a challenge. Definitely a challenge. I think that's what makes or breaks a lot of guys in the trucking industry. I found it's definitely challenging, but you know, you gotta have that personality of being able to kind of just go with the flow of things to make that work. Again, like what we said earlier about planning out the weekends. You can't really make too many plans because then you're gonna disappoint yourself if something happens where you can't make those plans. Yeah. And that was like the hardest thing. Mm. I come home every weekend, which I love.
Yeah.
Because I get to see my parents and everything.
Right.
Because they get a little lonely at home, being home alone. My sister went off to college now, really? So
you're the only one at home right now.
Technically, yeah, I'm the only one at home.
When you're home.
When I'm home, yeah. Yep. So, it's an adjustment for them as well, not just me. My dad adjusted it pretty easily because he's a truck driver. He understands it more. Mm-hmm. Took my mom probably a little bit more to adjust to it. Mm-hmm. But overall, it's definitely a challenge, and that's what makes or break people for the trucking industry. Unless you're going to be a daily driver and you're home every day, and then maybe it's not too bad.
That'd be a lot easier.
Would make it a lot easier in that way.
Mm-hmm. And if you want to be home every day, you might have to go drive for one of them LTL companies.
Sure, yeah. We don't have any of that. Well, not that I know of.
I mean, there's some dedicated out there. You can get home daily. A lot more. Yeah, you can get home daily. Like, one I know about that is for Caterpillar and Pontiac. I don't know the driver that's on that, but I've heard he gets home every day, and I'm like, when's he going to give that run up? Probably never. That's a good run.
Probably not. Probably never.
Stuff to consider, thinking about that, if someone's looking into going into trucking, this is a big part about it. It's a lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else you guys wanted to share about working here at Newspalm?
With the whole lifestyle thing, watch your diet. I kept eating the way I had been eating when I got into the truck before this, I was working as a cart pusher at Menards, so I was walking all the time, went to sitting all the time, gained a whole lot more weight. It's just something you got to watch and adjust to.
Yeah. No, it's a good piece of advice.
Definitely. I worked at an Ace Hardware before here. So I was on my feet.
Pretty similar.
I was on my feet all day long, so it was much easier to stay fit and lifting bags of concrete and whatnot.
Right.
But one thing I learned from my trainers is the biggest thing to watch is that sodium intake.
Sure.
Like, is it Mike? He's got the rule. No sodium in the truck, or if so, very little. No salt.
Yeah.
No, and we're not adding salt to anything.
Okay.
And at first I thought, what? We can't add salt
no
to anything.
Salt.
But then I understand why now. A good rule to have. I don't have any salt in my truck.
I hardly ever put salt on anything.
I don't put salt on anything either now. Even say outside a truck and just at home, go to a restaurant or anything, I'll be like, I do not want salt on that.
Yeah.
Just trying to do the best I can. Like what I learned from Jason is he always made a bunch of salads and stuff. Made me some pretty good salads. Jason, I almost wish we were back together so you can make more salads and more breakfast burritos and whatnot. But I don't think he
ever made a salad while we were in the truck, but he made some really good pastas and stuff like
yes,
that.
Yes, he did. I mean, if I didn't have my trainers that taught me, you know, what I should do for food and stuff, I'd be kind of lost on the proper way to eat.
Yeah.
They definitely both steered me in the right way for that.
Yeah. No, I think my takeaway from this conversation is that trucking is an adventure, and you have to go with the flow. I mean, that's something that's a very crucial skill, too. It's like going with the flow, whatever that looks like, is crucial. So, yeah, thanks for sharing.
Yeah.
Appreciate you both being on here today.
Hi, everyone. This is CJ from Recruiting at Nussbaum, and I'd love to answer any questions you have about driving with us. Give us a call at 309-268-1199 or visit NussbaumJobs.com. Talk to you soon. You've been listening to Terminal Exchange, the official podcast of Nussbaum Transportation. If you're enjoying our content, please leave us a review. Your reviews help us spread the word about these important topics and invite more people into the conversation. You can rate and review us on your podcast app or visit us online at TerminalExchange.org. New episodes arrive every other Tuesday, so be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You can also follow Nussbaum on your favorite social media platforms and be the first to know when new episodes are released. Thanks for listening. Until next time, own every moment and stay purpose-driven.